With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Buzz! 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 Buzz!
Welcome back to At the Buzzer. It's been a little bit. It's a Ralphie Report podcast about CU athletics, good and bad, but today's all good, and it's so exciting because we actually got to watch, I say we, but some people got to watch real CU sports happening today. One of those people is Sam, as always, lame and boring, just like
Thank
me.
You.
Yep. I'm your other host, Jack, who's also lame and boring, but we have a third host, new cool Jack, who has joined the Ralphie Report team. Give yourself a little bit of introduction, Jack Carlo.
My name is Jack Carlo. Yes. My favorite food is pizza. And
what's your major?
My major is journalism. I'll be a senior. I'm the sports editor for the CU Independent. Yes, I am joining Ralphie Report now. Written about three or four stories so far. I was on your guys
up to three or four a week soon.
Okay, we'll get there. It's June. I was on your guys' podcast.
Dead weight over here.
Yes, we hosted you. You were a great guest a few weeks ago or a month ago, or you know,
during the Pac-12 tournament.
Yeah, or like March or something.
Yeah, it's all 1 month, right?
Yeah, close enough.
Well, welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'll be helping out wherever I can. I'll be helping out wherever I can.
Don't say that yet.
You helped out today by going to the, I believe, the second to last open basketball practice in the next few months. Yeah. So, I know Tad had a few this week, and I believe this is the first week that everyone that is going to be on the team next year is on campus. I guess
everybody was there except for Tristan Da Silva,
who is in Germany.
I assume he's in Germany. I didn't ask. I forgot to.
Nice. Okay. So everyone else, including Javon Ruffin, I think the latest arrival was KJ Simpson, that was going to be on the team in 2021, was there. So I'd love to hear overall thoughts. This is all new to me, so it's very exciting for me to listen as well.
What do you want to, what are your questions?
Well, over the last week, let's talk about just the newcomers. I kind of want to go through all the new faces. So let's start with the guy we've already mentioned, KJ Simpson.
That guy's fucking great. He's going to be, he's so fun to watch. Yeah. He's like 6 foot nothing. He's lying about his height, by the way. And
he says six foot two,
but that's with his hair.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Definitely like one of the more like vocal freshmen I've probably seen in a while. Definitely also one of the better, his physicality is like definitely beyond his years. I think he'll give Keyshawn a run for his money, definitely with getting playing time at the point. He's definitely, I'd say, the talk of the town these first couple practices.
He has a really, really pretty jump shot. I don't know if we've seen that enough, like in his like prep stuff, but it's he starts it really high and goes really quick, like real quick into his jumper, and has a really nice rotation. Everything. It's just a pretty jump shot. It's mostly going in. I was mostly focusing on it, and he talks a lot of shit or like make or miss his shot, he's gonna clap or whatever about it.
Defense was good too. I wrote a little bit about this in my report of Monday's practice, but he got a nice steal there. I think he has a good basketball IQ. It looked like he was like one step ahead, I guess, on defense. Like he was good at like reading passes. At least, we don't want to put too much weight into these like first two practices in June, but from what we saw so far, pretty impressive.
Yeah. I would also say that, forgot what I was going to say. Oh yeah. He posted up Nick Clifford, I think, and just completely bodied him. just shouldered him back like 3 or 4 times to get separation. So I think that's going to be something to watch with KJ, is that he already knows how to use his body. And like, he's not very big, but he's strong and sneaky he knows how strong to use it. Yeah. It's nice to see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we talked about it when he signed too. And Sam, you were part of that conversation. I think, he's from Chaminade High School in Southern California, which is a pretty high level high school. And to me, it sounds like that's helping him with just the develop, like getting into college right away. Cause he literally, I think, finished his state championship run 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Evan Batty was there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, of course he's everywhere. but it sounds like he's ready quicker than some of the other freshmen, partially because of that high level of competition. And to your point, Sam, about the jumper, one thing you do see, I think I saw from prep highlights, is he really likes pull-up Jays. And I think that it sounds like that release lends itself well to that kind of movement on offense. The other thing Tad Boyles commented about KJ, like you said, natural talker, natural leader, and also something I didn't see very much, or I'd be interested to see if you saw that. It sounds like you did. It sounds like he's a dog on defense a little bit, at least one-on-one. I couldn't tell you about team defense, but sounds like he's aggressive at the very least,
yeah,
and locked in.
Yeah, that's what we saw, definitely, his first two practices at least. Yeah, I think it would be good. You know, if we have like Eli Parquet and KJ at the same time, I mean, I don't think many guards are going to score points off of that combo.
And for listeners, KJ Simpson was committed to Arizona until Sean Miller was fired. And then Tad Boyle's consistent relationship helped him bring him into Boulder. And the reason I brought up what we talked about in signing date is because Sam, I told Sam, to me, he reminds me a lot of some of those Arizona guards like Nick Johnson from way back when, that are just like kind of aggressive in your face on offense. Like, and same thing on defense, even if they are smaller. So anyways.
Yeah.
Something I saw. Go ahead.
He was probably, I would say though, the best freshman so far is probably going to be either him or Lawson Lovering. And Lawson looked really good already. I think someone asked Tad about like his adjustment from high school to college basketball already. And he said it like as what he could have expected. It's phenomenal that like he's going to be physically not as strong, but he has so much talent. He has so much mobility for his size. We're just excited. And his jump shot's really nice. But
yeah, he didn't go to like a huge high school like KJ did. He went to Cheyenne Central, which, yeah, so he was playing all his Wyoming schools and I guess Northern Colorado probably.
And in fact, I guess did not even win Wyoming Player of the Year, which sounds a little strange.
What? Wait, who's what the hell?
I don't even know. But from what I heard, it was basically he was double and triple teamed his senior year, so his stats were partially down compared to his junior year, which makes sense.
7-footer,
definitely. Yeah, and the only one in Wyoming, probably.
Yeah.
But is he super skinny? Is he like slight?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
he's really skinny. He has like kind of a hunched over posture too. And I think that's just because he's 7 feet tall and 18 years old.
He's still growing into his body a bit, I think.
Okay. It sounds like he's fluid at least.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. We were talking about this too at practice, like, cause they don't have too many, I guess, big men. I mean, you got like Jabari, Evan Batty, and then like,
that's it.
Lawson potentially. So we think, or I think at least that the Lawson Lovering, Evan Batty kind of 1-2, I think that'll give teams some problems. They're just two completely different players, at least from what we've seen.
They complement each other really well.
Yeah.
Like Lawson can protect the rim and shoot, whereas I can't do either of those very well.
Yeah. I don't know if they'll be on the court at the same time very often, but
that's I think there's some overlap there too, I think, in terms of both of them having skills on offense that I would not associate with a low block player very often. Evan might not be able to shoot as well outside, but I do think he's a really good passer. And I think he moves really well on offense, and it sounds like Lovering can shoot and move. So it's great to hear that.
Yeah. Also, Evan said that Lawson Lovering was like head and shoulders above what most freshmen would be with basketball IQ and maturity.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and Tad Boyle called him like a rare kid of like coachability.
And, well, so, yeah, and we know Tad loves that.
Yeah. nothing but praise from Lawson today.
Okay, that's also great to hear, because he was super hyped up, as I guess as he should have been, is what it sounds like. So I don't know. I'm always wary to project freshman bigs as anything more than like 10 minutes a game, 15 minutes a game. But if he can stay on the court mentally, I think at least like rotate well on defense and move well on offense, the physical, like his, I guess, slight build would be less of a problem. I think he could probably play some minutes, because like you guys mentioned, there's really not, at least in terms of pure bigs, there's three dudes I would say in that range, and Tristan De Silva can kind of flex, but
yeah,
smaller team this year. Go ahead.
What else you got?
Okay, guys, I want to know about, sounds like Javon Ruffin is still recovering, right?
He was there today, though.
Okay.
There today, at least.
And is crutches. He still in Zaffer?
Faulkner was in.
Yeah, Faulkner was in crutches. Javon was not.
Javon was not in crutches. Okay. Just what it
also, Faulkner, he had like a minor surgery on his ankle.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like it was something that was bothering him last year. And Tad Boyle said that he was previously playing at 60% to 70%. Of what he could have been playing, and that they're just doing the surgery now, and he'll be ready in August or September.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. That's super. That's way better news than I was expecting.
Very positive. He's not going to miss any time. Tad's not worried about him not adjusting to the team because he is a sixth year senior.
Right.
So he has the maturity already.
He was taking shots actually at the end of practice. He like just found like a chair, just like kind of put it under the rim. It's kind of funny to watch, but
yeah. And does he look like thick? Like it sounds like he's
He's a big boy.
That's what I love to hear. I want Bulldog guards, man. Him and Parquet would be nice. I guess Keyshawn, the last thing, go ahead.
Keyshawn is running point guard right now because Faulkner's out, and he looks pretty good right now. And Tad was talking about his like how impressed he was with him last year, and that he had just sporadic minutes, but still shined every time he was asked to play heavy.
And this is talking about Keyshawn?
Yeah. So that's really good. He wasn't just like hunting his own shot. He was actually like finding some really good passes, making things happen. I think I like that. He had some really nice passes today just in general.
Yeah. And his shot. Yeah. I mean, he had a pretty good 3-point shot, at least from what we saw like in the postseason last year. I think that's transferred over to the summer here so far.
Yeah, it looks better than where he was like as a freshman sophomore. Like it just looks cleaner. He's not like kind of launching it like
it was like a trebuchet last year sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it doesn't, it looks a lot nicer.
Yeah. From talking I talked to him on Monday, and he talked a lot about how he was not happy with his, I guess technically, his freshman year. I think that's going to be good for him, kind of fueling that fire, because I know like seems like Tad has pretty high expectations for him. He kind of needs to be. He needs to be like, you know, a leader with like McKinley gone.
He's very vocal.
Yeah, he was fun to listen to today.
So I was going to mention that. He bobbled
a pass and immediately yelled. Oh
shit! Because I think Tad likes to do that too. I think there's a certain level of acclimation that's needed for his lead guards. But when they do have that acclimation, I think his balance, right, is he gives them a lot of freedom, but he also rides them pretty hard. I don't know if riding pretty hard is the right word, but has expectations about what they need to do with that freedom in terms of like efficiency and making the right moves. Is Keyshawn going to be that next guy? Because I don't know. I mean, Faulkner is so old. I don't know if you can have that bond, you know? Yeah.
It's just hard to tell right now with Faulkner.
Okay.
It does look like they're going to have multiple like high level ball handlers on the floor all the time. I don't know. He's out there very much. He didn't look very good.
I had two questions left about Hammond and Allen too.
With the guards, it looks like Faulkner will probably be on the court, and then I'm guessing Bartholomew or Simpson, like two of those three will be on the court most of the time. So it's going to be multiple ball handlers who can attack the defense, and that's going to be really good. Even if Keyshawn's not as polished of a playmaker, it'll be really nice to see him as a secondary creator and develop into the next lead guard. But I think it'll be he or KJ who will be the next.
Well, KJ was also as a combo guard and coming out of high school. Did you guys see anything that would say he's going to split to the two, or was he actually kind of running lead stuff a lot?
He was mostly running action as secondary ball handler, I think.
Okay.
From the they didn't play five on five very much.
I see him as just a straight up point guard.
Oh yeah,
that's how I see him at least.
Okay,
maybe just because of his height. I don't know, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's always I think it's always kind of easier to play with shorter guys in college, at least at the shooting guard. I mean, Iskia Booker is a good example. That's local for a while, but
no, he had some high level reads though. Like he had a couple like driving kicks that were like next level passes. Okay. So he looks like he's just like a really smart basketball player.
That's exciting. Okay, so you mentioned Hammond not ready for a while. To me, that made sense. Dual sport athlete in high school, and also coming in from Colorado 5A is going to be a difference. I guess I always looked at him as a guy who was not going to play that much anyways this year, just getting settled. Was there anything that would change that assertion that you guys saw? Like anything?
I mean, you projected him as a high level shooter, but even in practice, he not doing too well, but also it is just shooting practice.
I and also Tad Boyle mentioned his high level shooting. Yeah. And he shot well in high school.
Yeah. Nothing special right now. Also, it's worth noting that at this practice, at least the big men were shooting better on threes than the guards were.
And is Jabari there right now? I'm so sorry.
Yes. He's playing. Yes.
Okay.
He wasn't practicing Monday though, but he was here today.
Yeah. He just got cut or eliminated, whatever, from the U19 team for the U.S. I know that.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Like we asked Tad about that today too. Yeah, I think he's just kind of using that as like a learning experience right now. Yeah, I mean that's probably wasn't the greatest for his confidence because I know. Yeah, I mean he's definitely one of the most. He's probably the most athletic guy on the team right now. We were talking like, yeah, there's not a lot
even
of
even with the new freshman coming in.
Maybe Quincy Allen, it'd be him or Quincy Allen as most.
Not well, I guess defining athleticism. What I would consider Lovering extremely athletic, even if he's not jumping that much, just because of how he can move. You know.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Oh, fair.
Yeah, I still think Jabari is the most.
Yeah.
So I don't want to, it's not scoop or anything, but something I do want to point out with that, Jabari Walker was a cut at the power forward position. The U19 coach, if you guys know this for this Jamie year, Dixon? Is no. What? Is Jared Haas, or he's an assistant coach.
Fuck that guy.
Jamie Dixon's the head coach. Jared Haas from Stanford is the assistant coach. And you'll never guess what school one of the power forwards selected, Harrison Ingram, goes to.
Oh, wow. Was it Stanford?
It's Stanford.
Okay.
Something interesting to look at.
So Tad was saying that when you're trying to talk to Jabari about why you were cut, he said sometimes they just make the wrong decision. And that it's not about you. They just made the wrong decision. And he said that when he was on the U19 selection process, that Tad Boyle and the staff, they cut Fred VanVleet from the team. So it's like, sometimes shit happens. And yeah, they're probably talking to him about that, trying not to let it hurt his confidence.
So yeah, anyways, just something really quick I wanted to point out about that it for someone listening, Jabari Walker got cut. There's a bunch of stuff going around that. And the U19 team isn't like, it's great, but it's not, you know, it's not like the Olympics or anything. So there's going to be some politics with that. John Calipari famously coached the Dominican Republic national team? Wherever Carl Anthony Towns is from, the year that he was eligible.
Yes.
Yep. So yeah, I guess let's talk about Quincy Allen a little bit. We know he's a scorer, I think, coming out of high school. Are you seeing that so far? Does he look too skinny to play a lot of minutes right now?
Not too skinny.
I don't think so. No. Yeah.
It's basketball.
But what we did see, what we did see from talking with Evan Batty, what we heard at least, is that he's a shot blocker too. So that was the big takeaway.
Oh, interesting.
Dude, he gets up really quickly.
Yeah.
He like wasn't even trying and he dunked on Nate Clifford.
Oh yeah,
and is he Tristan Da Silva height, like 6'8", 6'7"?
Listed as 6'7".
I think he's a good 6'7", but looks a little tall.
Yeah,
he's probably gonna play a little smaller than his height though because of his build. But he's long, really athletic.
Okay,
Like he was trying to do like the Jerron Hopkins one handed tomahawk off the offensive rebound. You know that?
Yes, I do.
Yes, he tried multiple of those, so we're gonna see that a few times.
Well, now's the time to try. Really, so
he's really aggressive on that. He's really aggressive as like a help side shot blocker.
One thing we did notice with his shot, I guess this was more of your observation, Sam, is that
this is a bad observation though.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, he kind of like it's kind of low, close to his face, and he shoots it so it's like not the highest release point.
Kind of like a longer ball shot, but less gross.
Yeah, less gross. But when they were playing live basketball, he was still shooting contested in the face threes and making them. So I think he's just good at shooting, regardless of his shot. He was also better shooting live ball than he was warm-ups.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I think, Sam, this goes into your NBA fandom. I really couldn't give that. Couldn't really give a shit in college if someone has a bad release, as long as it's like get offable, because it's not going to be an issue. Like, it's just not going to affect, I think, people shooting.
I think.
I mean, can you think of Lonzo Ball shot what, like 7 threes a game at UCLA at a pretty good clip?
Yeah, wide open in the corner, sure.
Well, those shots exist in college. Like, they do.
Yeah, I also I do admit that I was putting too much stock into like shooting form, and that's why I just backtracked there with the Quincy Allen thing because he was hitting shots. So
yeah,
I do think it's important. I mean, it's like you said, it's June. These kids just arrived here. There's not much I think we can glean from like 5-on-5 or anything.
Yeah.
So it's and stuff like this. Like it, I think that is the things you actually can that are going to translate is like how they look shooting the ball, how they look. I guess just. In general, physically too, how they look. Speaking of that, are there any veterans that have that look different than they did at the end of last year? Has anyone bulked up? Still looking down?
Bigger. Evan gets bigger every day. It seems
really
like.
Okay.
He gets more muscular.
More muscular. Eli Parquet also. Scary. I think he's developed even more. Yeah.
Yeah, that's got to be terrifying.
Yeah. Other than that.
Yeah, I like Parquet's like off the dribble shooting ability because he does like those pull up mid range.
He loves the pump fake one dribble. He loves that.
They look really good because he's so balanced while he's shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And like I just generally think he's going to be a good shooter this year.
I'm so excited for him this year, man.
I don't see a future as a ball handler passer. I don't think he needs to be, but being able to make passes is going to be good. Yeah. But.
That's why I'm like so excited about all the guards coming in too, is because I think we can move Parquet to a three role where that's not even necessarily like in the wheelhouse, and he can do those one dribble pull ups or, you know, he can guard threes so easily because of his length and his strength.
He'll guard everybody. Oh, something Nick Clifford talked about was that he's really focusing right now on this defense, like one-on-one defense, team defense. He's trying to learn from the veterans above him, like Deshaun Schwartz and Eli Parquet. And I think that's his path to playtime in his mind, is becoming like a switchable, big-bodied guard who can defend positions 1 through 3.
Yeah.
Were there any surprises with guys like Clifford that you saw at all? Like with something they added to the game maybe that you didn't see last year?
His catch and shooting is nice. Apparently he had a fractured wrist that he was recovering from last year.
Okay.
And he said that the game was really fast for him and that it was starting to slow down now. And it also sounds like he's been focusing on catch and shoot versus off the dribble. And his off the dribble jumpers looked really bad just warming up. Like he airballed a bunch of off the dribble mid ranges.
Mm-hmm. Some of that's probably just like, I mean, he didn't get a lot of minutes last year. He's still kind of. He's only a sophomore, and I don't want to put
COVID freshman, really. Yeah,
COVID freshman. Yeah, I guess
he also probably would have redshirted him. I feel like.
Yeah, maybe he should. But
Luke O'Brien. Anything there?
Luke O'Brien looked mostly bad. I'll be honest.
Well, yeah, we looked. See he looked mostly bad. Sam, is that what?
Well, you're saying? No. He's handsome. but he
looks good physically. I'll say that.
Yeah, he has some turnover issues.
Yeah,
and I mean, just sloppy. Yeah. Like he plays a little bit sloppy.
I think he looked pretty good last year in the actual.
No, he looked good. No, I'm just saying in these practices, not really looking at like he does like a basic pass. Like you know when like the first pass is free at the rec.
Yes.
That pass was getting intercepted because he wasn't really.
You knew
he did have one pass intercepted today,
like that. Yeah,
like Paul George. I think it was the last game. Paul George
doesn't have great hands. Yeah.
Anyways, okay. I think I covered about literally everyone on the roster.
The walk on looks pretty good.
Nice.
As far as walk ons go, yeah.
Where did Frank Ryder ever go? Do you remember him?
He went to San Diego.
Oh, nice.
And didn't really play much, I don't think.
No, well, no.
Also, I found out Jakob Dombek played like 4 minutes last year for Hartford.
Yeah.
Yeah. Four whole minutes.
Yeah, like 20 minutes, I think.
Okay.
He averaged 2.3 minutes per game.
Oof. Frank Ryder went to Denver. That's where he transferred.
Oh, that's right. He was from San Diego.
So who did you guys get to talk to after practice?
Talk to Quincy, Neek, and Evan.
Yeah.
So we got to get pretty.
And then we are in the scrum for Tad Boyle.
Yeah.
Okay. And you guys already talked about some of the stuff they said. Anything else memorable that we want to speak on?
I didn't want to talk about like the leadership dynamic going into this year. Mm-hmm. So they had, I think they graduated what was like 6 scholarship seniors last year.
Mm-hmm.
And this year they only have Evan and Eli. Eli, like, it's just not his, you know, MO, I guess, to be that kind of vocal leader. Definitely. It's definitely up Evan's alley. That's definitely, we've seen that the past 2 years, really. So we're not worried about him.
Past 5 years.
Past 5 years, I guess.
He was like an assistant coach in his redshirt freshman year.
Yeah. But I don't know. I was just a little worried if just having Evan with all his amazing leadership abilities, is that going to be enough to guide all these freshmen? I did talk to Lawson, and Evan's definitely been doing a good job of kind of tutoring some of these freshmen, but I'm a little worried about the at least leadership depth right now.
It seems like, well, we don't know what Mason Faulkner is going to bring as a personality. Eli's probably, he's not going to be vocal. He's definitely a lead by example. Right.
Right.
But Evan might be enough to be like the guy who holds people accountable and coaches people. But it seems like naturally the underclassmen are going to have like a healthy competitive type of culture. Like Quincy Allen said that they've been bonding really quickly all together as like a freshman class.
Mm-hmm.
And that we'll see, but I don't think that there's going to be like a click type of deal like there was when Askia Booker and Josh got. But
worse than that, the Deron Hawkins, Dustin Thomas group. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was the same group. They were just in Askia Booker's click.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
But Tad Boyle, he's been like really going for those high character players. So I would say like I don't know if they necessarily need a leader per se.
That's a good point though.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, Evan, I think maybe. Past Evan. Yeah. I don't know.
It didn't seem like there was many guys out there with a big ego. I guess I'll say that. So
besides KJ, but besides in a good way.
It's a good kind of ego, I guess. I think they need that kind of fiery kind of guy. I mean,
I would
honestly,
agree.
It could be KJ.
Yeah.
I could see that as a freshman leader.
Like McKinley Wright was the leader on his freshman team.
Yeah. We could see that again.
Yeah. Two things are running through my head when you're talking about this. Number one is that 2011-2012 team that took it to the Pac-12 championship. Had Carlin Brown, who was not that, I mean, he was vocal, but not, and he was also a transfer, but he wasn't like the heart of the team. And he had a bunch of seniors who were pretty much lead by example guys. Roberson similarly was not a vocal leader, you know, Sabatino Chan.
They had Nate Tomlinson though. What are you talking about?
Right. So you had Nate Tomlinson.
Oh, that would be your Evan Batty comparison.
Right. Yeah. Nate Tomlinson. And then you had guys, the freshmen that class were amazing at walking in, like Spencer Dinwiddie, you did not need to lead, right? He's going to lead himself. Josh Scott, similarly to Eli, was super quiet. But like what it sounds like to me is that's what's going through my head is another option of something that's not going to be a lack of leadership problem. And then the other thing that's going through, like Sam mentioned, is, you know, McKinley's junior year, that whole team fell apart partially because of how close they were. And like from what we've heard from Evan and other people on the team, they just weren't accountable to each other by the end because they didn't want to say anything. Right. I think that lesson's still fresh in heads. I don't think they're going to feel too comfortable to call each other out.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that. Yeah. Again, it's just like finding that line between like healthy competition and just, yeah. You know, I mean, you want to be like, close, but yeah, not to the point again where 2 years ago it kind of was detrimental. But from what we saw so far, I don't think that'll be too big of an issue. It seemed like a healthy, good, like productive competition.
Jack, do you want to guess Quincy Allen's NBA player comparison? Who he's modeling his game after?
What he told you he is?
He's not going
to
guess it.
You're not going to get it. I just want to hear
it. Is it a crazy thing to say? Is it just someone insane?
No, not necessarily. It's not Kevin Durant.
Okay, well, that was going to be my easy guess. I'll say Otto Porter.
Oh, you're actually not too far off. He said Will Barton.
Wow. Okay. That's fun. Mm. That's super fun. Yeah, that is a niche character model, something that I think is easily achievable in the college
I think he wants to be an energy player.
Okay. That would be sweet. I think he has the offensive skill to do much more than Will Barton does.
No, I know, but I think I think he would have fun being an energy player because I think he wants to get those like crowd on your feet blocks or dunks.
Yeah. And Will Barton can't throw a chest pass. He only throws behind the back passes. You want to see that stuff?
Yeah, a little bit. I think, probably even like Will Barton. I think Quincy might be frustrating at times. Just because like there are some parts where it's like this guy's probably needs a little bit more of the hard ass coaching on him.
I guess I'm not going to complain about my small forward not shooting too much shots after yearning for 4 years for Deshaun Schwartz to take like 10 shots a game and that never happening. I'd be fine if Quincy Allen does that and it makes me upset because
we just want him to be aggressive taking the right shots.
I'm trying to think. Anything else that Batty or Boyle said that we have to talk about?
We're looking over the quotes now.
Yeah, not really. I think we hit most of the spots.
Okay.
You got any other questions, though?
Well, just the one that I would love, I think, Ted to answer at some point. I want to see what Evan Batty looks like as a passer in this offense because
Evan didn't. It didn't really seem like they were going to focus on him doing as a playmaker. Okay. It mostly seemed like most of the same stuff, as in Evan will get the ball and he'll be able to pass it to any spot on the floor. And if he's posting up and they send a double team, he'll find wherever they sent a player from, but they're not going to be they're not going to be running him as a Jokic or a Draymond initiating his own offense up there.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. I wondered, I just expected, I guess, the center of gravity to shift now that McKinley's gone. But it sounds like the same offense is just going to be run and they're trusting the new point guard to be that playmaker.
Yeah, I think so. I think what I was saying earlier with like the multiple ball handlers on the floor.
Yeah.
I think once you have that, it's not necessarily needed, even if none of them are as good of playmakers as McKinley. Once you have a lot of guys who can do it, it'll be easier.
Basically what Evan's quote was, he was saying he pretty much can't rely solely on himself and he's not going to force anything.
No, he couldn't rely on McKinley to feed him in the post.
All right.
Yeah. As of like the playmakers, like losing McKinley, because it seemed like, he was going to miss that.
He wants to play off his teammates. So, I mean, he's not going to be like a Jokic type of center, I guess.
Right.
We're not going to see that. Even though, I guess, Batty's more of a forward / center.
A Draymond.
Draymond's a good
one. Yeah, that was Evan's player comparison early in his career. That's who he was modeling his game after.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe more like selfless, I guess, than like a Draymond kind of guy. But
okay. Final question I had is, I guess, top to bottom, you've both seen now, it sounds like, at least 4 years of Tad Ball. Is this the most talented roster top to bottom that you've seen?
It's hard to tell because, maybe like the most talented
group of underclassmen. Just physically,
Probably physically, just like up and down the roster is a bunch of really high level athletes. It's not like a few people. It's not like there's just one Andre Robertson who's dunking on everybody.
Yeah.
Because like, I wouldn't say Austin Dufault or Nate Tomlinson were particularly talented, but they were good basketball players.
The only other one I can think of would be that 2016-17 team with Derek White, Wesley Gordon, Xavier Johnson, that team.
Yeah, the one that had a lot
intensely
of
frustrating, but
some untapped talent.
Yes, but so much physical talent. But there's a whole lot of physical talent on that team. Yeah.
How do you see it?
I mean, I see it how. Well, I mean, Tad's been comparing this freshman class a lot to McKinley, you know, Deshaun's, Dallas's 2017, Tyler, yeah. Tyler too. That yeah, this class is kind of being compared to that a lot. So for that reason, I'll say it's like 1 and 1A, this group and that 2017 class in terms of just like pure raw talent.
Okay,
but it's that's still,
a good class.
Yeah, I think that's what Tad's been saying. So
we will see a roster crunch at some point, but the good thing is that whoever doesn't break out is going to get crunched. So somebody will. These are right. good. This, mm-hmm. There's going to be some really good players coming out of this freshman class.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough to tell exactly who. I think KJ Simpson is going to be one of those too. One of those kids.
Yeah, you fell in love. You fell in love today.
I did, honestly.
Do you think like a Lawson Lovering would draw any comparisons to like a Dallas Walton?
Oh, no. He's okay. Like so much better.
You think so?
So much better.
I was just thinking like long, lanky.
Yeah.
Center. At the beginning of Dallas Walton's career, maybe.
All right. Yeah, I don't know. From what I've heard and what I saw too, early high school Dallas Walton was like
Porzingis was a 6.
Go ahead. I'm just saying
Porzingis is a 6'15" shooting guard.
I see Porzingis more down low.
Okay.
He's not. He sucks down low though.
I don't know. I was just thinking like skinny tall.
Miles Turner.
Okay.
No.
That would be so unbelievably good. There's no way that's Miles Turner.
No. Okay, it's yet to be seen.
Yeah, I was gonna say Josh Scott, but it's not because he's anywhere near the same player.
No, he's a perimeter oriented 7-footer.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's definitely perimeter oriented.
Some hybrid more. Stuff because he played some in the I've post. Seen.
Yeah. No.
I
no.
See I'm hybrid.
Yeah. It is yeah. hybrid.
Okay.
I'm just saying he's not gonna be a post. Score purely.
He's not like he's right, not Josh Scott, where he's scared to step out until senior year.
We will see what Lawson develops into, but he's incredibly talented.
Good to hear.
And this guy he's going to pop off. It's just this year or next year, whatever.
Okay.
It sounds like nobody has anything negative to say about him.
Mm-hmm.
So
and he wants to be here, which is good.
I also want to mention that this class is talented too. The next class is shaping up pretty well, even though it is going to be smaller. They don't know how big it is going to be quite yet. But as we know, Joe Hurlbert from North Dakota is currently on board as another kind of perimeter oriented big. And from what we've seen,
he's slow as shit though.
Hurlbert.
Yeah. He's real slow. So he's a classic 7-footer who can.
I guess it depends on what you say by slow. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we might be chasing Lucas Seward's ghost here, but that's still a ghost worth chasing, I think.
No, I think Hurlbert's more like, I wouldn't say a stiff, but he's definitely not quite Lucas Seward because Lucas Seward was basically like a shooting guard, but he's a big boy, Hurlbert.
So, from what we've heard, Rick Ray, I don't know if you saw him working with who he was working with at practice today, but he's been pretty aggressive on the recruiting trail, which is great to see because I was super worried when English and then Anthony Coleman left that spot if the recruiting slack would be picked up. Rick Ray is, I guess, the guy to do it, and we already know what Mike Rohn and Bill Greer bring to the table. I don't know. Is Rohn still with the bigs? Did you guys see that today? So. Okay.
I wasn't really watching the coaches, to be honest.
No.
Okay.
There was one recruit there. Was that Avery Brown? Or is that Jason?
Yeah, it looks like Avery Brown was there.
Okay. Yeah, there's a player who's supposed to be on an official this weekend. Glad to hear that you made it in. That Avery Brown's a guard. I don't even know out of where, but kind of bigger. Pass first guy, so it's fun to watch.
I think Nick Clifford was hosting him. That's what I heard on practice on Monday. So that was, okay. I guess, somewhat notable.
Yeah.
He was hosting. I'm not 100% sure if it was Brown. It might have been Jason Green was the other one. But it seems like, yeah, Neek's at least taking somewhat of a kind of a leadership role there with that. But
yeah, and I know they like to use local kids sometimes when they can, just because it's a little bit easier for them to like take them to places in Denver, hiking or, you know, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Not sure what they did, but.
I don't think I have anything else. Questions wise, I don't know. This is also exciting. Like, it's just this basketball team. It's hard. It's exciting to go back to a football game. I'm excited to attend a football game in person and watch the team. But it's so much easier for me to get excited about the basketball team right now.
I'm at the point where I just want there to be another basketball season already. And I just want it to be like 80 games long. I don't want to watch the football team per se. It's frustrating. I know the basketball team's going to be good and fun.
I mean, the football team might be good. They were 4-2 last year. Yeah, but it is a different type. I don't know. For some reason, it's so much more exciting. And I guess that's the power of recruiting, right? Like, it's just like the guys coming into the basketball team after the last year's success are so much more fun to think about right now.
Yeah, and football players generally take longer to develop, and there's a lot of unknowns. Like Nate Landman, not really a top recruit who pops off. Brady Russell, complete walk. Like, it's just easier to tell that basketball players just can be so much more talented.
Yeah,
just from a physical standpoint.
Mm-hmm. If we go quickly around the horn for Pac-12 news, speaking of excitement, Chris Smith is not returning to UCLA.
Donnie Juzang probably will, though.
Yes, which I think is how that spot got stolen.
His draft stock tanked at the combine because they're like, oh, this guy's actually not that good of a shot creator and shot maker. Who knew?
Great segue, because another Pac-12 guard actually blew up the combine like we all knew he would.
Oh, yeah, McKinley Wright.
Yeah, we asked Evan about that today, actually, too. Mm-hmm. I think they're still staying in touch. I could definitely see him, potentially making a roster.
Second round or whatever. I honestly think that even if he goes undrafted, he's going to make it to the NBA because he's a crazy person.
Well, so yeah, Jonathan, I don't know too much about NBA draft stuff like you, Sam, but Jonathan Givney, I guess, is a name to care about.
59th overall, second round
for
the Nets.
And he was saying that McKinley did a lot in terms of the guards, probably one of the most in the combine to improve his stock. Just defensively, I guess, he locked down a bunch of people, as we knew he would, and just made right reads.
No, he was picking up people 94 feet, grinding them down.
Javon like Carter that's, style.
That's the kind of guard he wants to be in the NBA. Yeah. And he couldn't be that player at CU because of his offensive burden. It was always, we always knew that once he would get to the NBA, he'd be able to like really be that kind of a defender.
Yeah. It's Dinwiddie tweeted out some congratulations. Damian Lillard tweeted out some congratulations.
Oh yeah. Damian Lillard loved those CU guards.
Well, McKinley Wright spent 4 years begging for Damian Lillard's attention and stuff because
I just gave you
him, so it works.
A great segue.
I know you did, and I rejected it because we're not doing the Pac-12 around the horn.
Chauncey.
Yeah, we have Chauncey as the head coach of my Portland Trailblazers.
In a super rocky first week. Not even his fault.
We can brush by.
Well, I'm comfortable talking about it. So I guess Damian Lillard, there's some weird mixes. Like Damian Lillard is going to maybe force a trade because he doesn't like the owner, blah, blah, blah. I guess he wanted Jason Kidd or something.
No.
Okay.
He said they wanted to get Terry Stotts out because so the GM of the Blazers, Neil Olshey, he built a flawed roster that didn't have enough defensive ability on the ball. And so he blamed Terry Stotts. And so they got rid of Terry Stotts. And now Lillard said he wanted either Jason Kidd or Chauncey Billups, one of the two. Mm-hmm. And then they picked up Chauncey Billups. Lillard recommended him. And then because of Lillard's allegations from 1997, Lillard is now being criticized by Blazers fans for advocating for that. And he is saying, don't treat me like this. I'm going to leave. You should know that I didn't know about this. Like, I had no way of knowing about it.
It all just came out in the past 2 weeks.
Yes. Like, so. Yes.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah, the Cavaliers investigated it in 2017, still offered him the president of basketball ops. They lowballed him, which is why he turned it down. And then the Clippers investigated it too when they hired him as an assistant coach. The Blazers best skater as well. But
yes, and this is not know. And this is not even I guess I don't want to go that far, but it was not even, it was settled out of court, I believe. No, in 2000,
yes.
Yeah, so there's no way of knowing exact, like there's no litigation we can point to, like it similar situation with Kobe Bryant or anything. But anyways, all of this to say, it was super weird start, but congrats Chauncey, I guess his first head coaching job. Good luck, man, because that roster is pretty brutal.
Hey, it's pretty good.
Okay.
It's just what?
You have to trade CJ McCollum, and right? Like you just have to.
Kinda. Well, maybe not, but they need.
How many more years does Nurkic have left?
He has a team option that he's definitely going to exercise.
Okay.
Or he has a player option that he's definitely going to exercise, or whatever. Nurkic is going to be back. They just have a bad salary cap. They had a trade piece in Zach Collins who just broke his foot for like the fifth year in a row. So he broke his foot yesterday, I think.
Yikes.
Norm Powell is most likely going to be re-signed, but they're probably going to try to trade Derek Jones Jr. and a first-round pick to get some help, and possibly McCollum. That wouldn't be a bad Ben Simmons trade if we want to get down to there for some clickbait. But I like the McCollum for Simmons trade. Makes a lot of sense.
Well, I guess I kind of wish Chauncey landed in a better spot.
He proposed a Nuggets trading Jamal Murray and stuff for Damian Lillard, though. But that's just like, what? You wouldn't do that? You wouldn't take Lillard for Jamal Murray?
Oh, just like straight up?
Or with picks?
I don't know if I like that.
Wow,
Lillard is so ball dominant, and we have a ball dominant. Lillard's not.
I mean, they've kind of their playoff in the last two playoffs hasn't been great.
Oh yeah, because Lillard's putting up 31.
But it's not.
Think of the fit, Sam. Damian Lillard needs the ball in his hands all the time. Playoff series.
What?
Damian constantly needs the ball in his hands, and Jokic has the ball in his hands constantly. That's a hard match. I don't think it would work as well as you want it to.
That Dwayne Wade and LeBron could figure it out, so I don't see why these two couldn't.
Because I don't think Damian Lillard is Dwayne Wade is the answer.
Oh, well, Murray, that's kind of rude. Do you think Jokic is LeBron then?
I would say that Jokic, in fact, last year was better than LeBron and every other Murray player and Jokic in the world.
Murray works so well off each other, though.
What?
Murray and Jokic worked so well off
each other. I get it. I don't know. Lillard is a 10 times better player than Murray. And I think you
10 times.
I think that he's a significantly better player.
Okay, we're both homers.
I mean, they're both terrible at defense.
I'm realistic here.
Yeah, Lillard is better. Not 10 times.
They're maybe both terrible at defense.
Better.
Let's say Lillard's a 94 overall. Murray's like an 85.
85.
Yeah. I mean,
86.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry.
Okay.
I don't think he's that good, though. I think he's too streaky.
He is streaky.
We actually had an argument with somebody who was on our team. So he got fired because he kept being drunk and belligerent.
On Murray?
he said Lillard was a bad leader. Rich stuff. How are you doing, Jack?
I think this is shocking to me that you would say, I don't get any of this. I don't even want to talk about the NBA, but Jamal Murray at the very least is cheaper than Damian Lillard, which is important.
Not by much.
Okay, well.
Yeah, it doesn't, when you're already capped out, it doesn't really matter. If you can, because they're already going to be capped out with Jokic, Murray / Lillard, and Porter Jr. and Aaron Gordon. They're already, once you're maxed out, you can't spend more than that.
Gordon wasn't amazing this year.
He was great when they had a healthy team. He just stuck in the playoffs.
Yeah, he did suck in the playoffs.
That's because he has his offensive responsibility, IMO.
I don't know if they'll keep him, but
I think they will. They have at least another year. Okay. Are we done?
All right. Well, yeah, I'm done. Congrats to Chauncey. Congrats to McKinley. And I guess.
Congrats to KJ Simpson.
Yes. Congrats to KJ Simpson. I don't think he won the state championship, but they got damn close. And I guess I'm excited to see more of this team. It sounds like there's another practice tomorrow. And then.
Yep. And then they go to Costa Rica.
Which
in August.
I guess I'm sure they'll let us know how to watch those games, but I do want to watch those games. Because it sounds like it's worth watching.
Maybe though.
Hey, man.
It may not be televised.
I don't think
we were televised in France like 8 years ago.
I'll be very impressed if you found a stream.
Yeah, let us know if you find one. Post it in the Discord.
The other thing we need to mention, of course, is Nebraska is playing CU in an exhibition for charity in Omaha. I don't know, Omaha. I don't know if it's for COVID relief or something, but.
Yeah, it was for three different charities.
Okay.
One of them was COVID relief, whatever. One of them was a YWCA, stuff like that.
And they're coming here in next season. Too. Oh, I didn't know. So that. It's a one-on-one. Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that either.
That's what Tad said on Monday.
That'll be good. Then they can sell out the whole Coors Event Center
for an exhibition.
For a completely terrible Power 5 team. Though they did get.
Also, congrats to me because I just bought Civ 6 yesterday.
That is.
All right, we should sign off,
man. All right, we'll be done. Goodbye.
Buzz! 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 Buzz!